And we are, of course, entering into the Christmas season. Next Sunday is the beginning of Advent, and where we start lighting the Advent candles. I know our merchants are happy because this actually is the longest Christmas buying season that you can have. Because when is Christmas? On a Monday, right? And so, of course, Christmas Eve is going to be on the 24th, which is actually a Sunday. And so, and then with the Thanksgiving so early this year, our merchants should be pretty happy. Who all went Black Friday shopping? How many of you say, that was crazy for me to do that? So I used to do that with Joanna all the time when we were in Findlay. We would get up at 3 or 4 in the morning and go to the mall area and see all the people who are crazy enough to go out there even for longer than us. And I just went there to make memories. I really didn't want to buy anything. Oh, I might find something and I might get excited about it. But Joanna's the one. She was the one that really wanted to, that's my second daughter. She's the one that really wanted to buy this stuff. And just to see the crazy people willing to do what they're willing to do just for a couple dollars. What I learned is the best thing you can do is to, when you get older, is to stay in bed. And then you get up, yeah, all the guys are going, yeah. And then what you do is you go around 9 o'clock in the morning. And what I noticed was that Walmart wasn't too bad at 9 in the morning because the rush was gone. And normally they've got the same stuff there because they buy enough of it. And then I went over to Menards. Now that was crazy. You know, I thought women were crazy at Walmart. You should see the guys at Menards. That was crazy over there. I guess it was so full that they weren't. They were handing out trash bins for people to put their stuff in when they were shopping. So we went. We bought a few things. And are we done, Polly? No. Okay. So just real quickly, just a side note for Wednesday night. For the Wednesday night, if you are part of my Christianity 101, we're going to have to cancel it. We need you to go into the Life Tree. The Life Tree is going to be meeting in there, so you're going to be at the same spot. The reason is my son is coming home from deployment that day. And so you know, being with you or being with my son, what should I do? Somebody said stay here? Keep Polly happy. So we're going to be going up to Toledo area and saying hello to my son after about 11 months. So he's actually coming home. So, but we are having Wednesday evening. It's just that we're going to be merging the Christianity 101 is going to be merged in with Life Tree at that time. Okay, what I want you to do today is I want you to take your Bibles. And I want you to turn to the book of Malachi. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi was not the last book actually written in the Old Testament. What you need to realize is that the Bible is not in chronological order. The Bible actually is they kind of group it together where you've got the Septuagint, then you got the Law, and then you got the poetical books, and then you got the historical books, and then I think I got the political historical mixed up. Then you got the major prophets, and you got the minor prophets, and then you go into the New Testament. So it's not in chronological order. If you really were to want to know which is the last book in the Bible that was actually written, you have to go to the book of Nehemiah. They think that book was written around 400 B.C. The book of Malachi was written about 424 B.C. So there's about 24 years difference actually there. I want you to go to Malachi chapter 4, and I want you to go to verse 7. Now, do you want to know what the best sound a pastor can ever hear is? It's when you hear pages of the Bible that are turning, because that means you're in God's Word. Okay, so what I want you to do is I want you to go to Malachi chapter 4, verse 7. I definitely want verse 7. What? Are you sure? I definitely want you to go to that. Okay, what's after verse 7 or verse 6? Nothing, right? Is it a blank page? If you have another Bible, I want you to turn and go in between there. You'll see most of your Bibles have got a blank page at that point, right? Some of yours don't, some of you do. And then you have one that's called, and there now you have the New Testament. What that blank page is, and that's what I want to call Malachi chapter 4, verse 7. That blank page is actually about 400 years of silence. Now, if you want to know how long 400 years is, I want you to go back to about the pilgrims. When the pilgrims came to America, that's about how long 400 years ago. But that's a time of silence. When you don't see God acting, you don't see a lot of angelic works, you don't see a lot of stuff that's happening. But even though we may not have the voice of God, God is actually acting and working at that time. However, as human beings, we don't like something. We don't like silence. We don't. I love watching YouTube, and I'll get on YouTube, and I love watching it when the news media screws up. How many of you love watching that? I do. I love it when something happens that they don't expect to happen, because everything's so scripted, especially during a live broadcast. And I think the funniest ones is when there's silence. You know, when they didn't get in their earpiece, you're on. They're just sitting there going, oh, you're on. You know, maybe they're scratching their hair or whatever else. You're on. We must be having technical difficulties at this time. And they go right to something else. You never had that happen to you now, did you?
No.
Not at all. Yeah. Okay. But I think it's hilarious because what's funny is they're uncomfortable because they don't know when they're getting on. The news anchors are uncomfortable because it's not working the plan. And you get uncomfortable because you know they're uncomfortable. Right? Now, I was actually going to start the sermon off by doing this. And wait for about 1 to 2 minutes. And to see how you react. Because you get uncomfortable when there's noise. Now, a nurse probably would think that I was having a stroke, and they'd probably come up and check my blood pressure and everything else, but I was perfectly fine. We don't like silence. First thing I do when I get in the car, you turn on the... First thing you do when you get home, you turn on the... First thing kids do when they get off school, they get on their phones. Okay? And I mean, this is what they're doing down the street. Okay? So no longer should a school zone be 20 mile an hour. It needs to be 10 mile an hour because they're not paying attention anyway. Right? Okay. Because we don't like silence. But what was happening during those 400 years, there was actually silence. But God was actually working. This is the neat part about this whole thing. God was working for the preparation of the coming of Jesus. And it just wasn't a mistake. It just didn't happen. It was actually Jesus coming and God was preparing. Now I want to read to you out of Galatians chapter 4. Okay? I want you to go to Galatians chapter 4. I promise I'm not going to trick you this time. Okay? Galatians chapter 4. And I want to read this to you. It's actually one of my favorite verses, not the favorite. My favorite verse is John chapter 3, verse 17. But it is actually one of my favorites because it's so neat when you dig into this. And what it says is, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive full rights as sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts. The Spirit calls out, Abba, Father. So you no longer a slave, but you are a son. And since you are a son, God has made you his heir. The verse I really want to focus on is the first one. In the fullness of time, God. Now, if you were to look at the exact translation would say, when the preparation was fully completed, God. So you know when things work out well, you're preparing for it, right? You're doing a wedding. You're doing a lot of preparing for it. Now, true, you can do a wedding. You can go to do a destination. You can go to Las Vegas. You can go to the courthouse. You can do a wedding. But you know, when you want a perfect wedding with the bridesmaids' dresses all matching and the flowers and all that stuff, it takes time. It takes preparation. And when the time was fully complete, then you have the wedding, right? Same thing with a baby. Okay, I've got two grandchildren. So I got another one that's in the oven right now and it's cooking. And it takes about 9 months for it to cook. Thing I find out about women is you get about month 8 and they're done. Right? didn't bother me one bit. I mean, you know, but they're done. And I can still remember coming home from the doctor's office, and Polly all upset because the baby is so big, but they said it's going to gain 1 pound per week. She says, by the time this baby's born, it's going to be 18 pounds. You know, all this other stuff is going to happen. But the doctor constantly said over and over again, wait, wait, wait for the right time. Wait for the right time. Wait for the right time. Don't be impatient. Wait for the right time. Every one of my kids had to be helped to be born. My oldest daughter was actually 2 weeks late. My middle daughter was, she was on time, but the reason why she was on time is because the doctor was going on vacation. He did. He goes, hey, I'm going on vacation. You want me to deliver the baby? Yeah. Okay, what day you want? Okay, I'll take the 30th of October. Why do you want the 30th? Because it's the 31st, it's Halloween, and she'll be born ugly and everything else. So it was the 30th of October. My son, he had to be helped along. But every one of them, every one of them, had to wait for the proper time. And I know some of us have had preemie babies, and you know the special care that a preemie baby takes and everything else. But when you wait for the proper time, at 9 months, then you give birth. Now, that's what God was doing. During those 400 years, he was preparing for the coming of Jesus. And there were three areas that he was preparing. The first one was religiously. What he was doing was he was preparing, bringing Israel back and to be monotheistic. I thought they were always monotheistic. No, they weren't. Israel had a tendency to always take on the religion of the community in which they lived. Remember a couple weeks ago we talked about, and they built a golden calf? Where did that come from? Egypt. And so God took them out of where they were and took them into an area, Babylon, that was monotheistic. And they also had in there, and I can never say it right, a group of men called Zoroastrians, whatever they are. But they were monotheistic. When they were there, there was a group of people from Israel called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember them? Okay. And a man named Daniel. Daniel in the lion's den. While they were there, Daniel found favor with the king, and Daniel developed a school of prophets, or basically a school there, where he started teaching them. When they were teaching them, he was probably teaching about the signs of the coming of the Messiah. Out of that school came what are called magi. You starting to see it? So even though it was 400 years ago, that school was continuing going, and now the influence of Daniel was there, and the magi were looking for the signs that probably Daniel gave them of the coming of the Messiah. They also established what were called synagogues, because the temple wasn't there anymore. They developed synagogues. What's a synagogue? A synagogue is a place of worship for the Jewish people. Before that time, you went to the temple. Now you can go to the synagogues. What was in the synagogues? The teaching of God's word and where people met. Where did Jesus teach out of at times? The synagogues. Synagogues were also the forerunners of a church. Technically, we are a synagogue. We are a religious place where people meet. Okay. So the religion, they brought the religion of monotheism, basically came back. Then came the Greeks. The Greeks, Alexander the Great came in, and he had this idea, and he said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make the whole world Greek. We're going to bring everything together. So he brought Greek culture in, called Hellenization. They also had a language of the Greeks called Koine Greek. Basically, it was common Greek. Anybody know what the New Testament was written in? Greek. The reason why he did that is so that we all would be under one language and so that we could communicate with other cultures. Right now, as of right now, the main language that a lot of cultures are teaching their students in school to speak is English. And the reason why they're teaching that, because they know if you're going to do commerce with the United States, with Europe, you have to be able to speak English. So if you go to Korea, you're going to be taught English. If you go to Sweden, you're going to be taught English so that we can communicate with each other. Now, I do believe eventually it's going to be replaced, and I think it's going to be replaced by Spanish because the Spanish population is just exploding. Might take some time, but I think that's what's going to happen. That's my opinion. It's not Bible. Don't hold me accountable for that. We also know that the Bible was translated into, the Old Testament was translated into Greek at about 280 BC. Okay, so God now has the monotheism. He now has the needed language, and he also and the gathering of the Old Testament was brought together under Ezra, where he had all these different writings and stuff, and they finally all came together. I thought I missed something. And it was translated into Greek. You're saying, well, so what, Pastor? No, you gotta see what's happening. This is so important. Then you had the politics that was changed, and it was just right. The Romans came to power. I don't know exactly the right date. I know it was around the first century BC, but the Romans came in, and they had what was called Pax Romana, or Roman peace. Now, the Romans, during that Roman time, it was fairly peaceful, because if you did something wrong, they put you on a cross. And so they also developed the road system, the aqueduct system, the relative peace system, and the postal system. Why was that important? Because when Paul wrote to the churches, he wrote letters. And how did the gospel get spread out? Through the roads and the postal system and the common language. They also instituted the taxes. How was taxes important? Did the taxes not bring Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem? See, now you're starting to see the pieces of the puzzle are now coming together. And so what God is saying is, in the fullness of time, God sent. In the fullness of time, God sent his son. When things were just right, just perfect, that's when God sent Jesus. It wasn't haphazard. Jesus was planned since Genesis chapter 3. And throughout the Old Testament, it is the constant building upon until eventually it was the right time and the right time happened and then Jesus came. There's listening to a commentary this week about the tax system, and it says the tax system was every 14 years for the Romans, where they had to go in and they had to have the census, just like we do every 10 years, and as a purpose of taxes. And the one that's recorded is 8 AD, 14 years back from that would go to about 6 BC. Well, people believe that Jesus was born between 4 and 6 BC. But that's right on the edge. So when was Jesus? And that doesn't make sense. And then there's documentation out there that says that the Jewish people waited 2 years because they were holding off as long as they could, which would have went right into 4 BC. Ta-da! When you see all this. Now you're saying, Pastor, so what? I just think it's neat. But I think there's a lot of things we can gather from this. The first one is this: God's will be done on his perfect timing, not ours. There's so many times we're like the pregnant woman, get this baby out. We want it now. Let's go, let's go, let's go. And God's saying, no, wait for my timing. It's not about your timing, it's about my timing, because I can see the big picture, you see the small picture. And there's so many times that we say, God, you know, the world's falling apart, so God, you know, Jesus can come right now, right? I remember when I was in college, I would say, okay, Lord, you can come back anytime. But can you please wait until after I got married? I just want to be married. And then came the time for I got married and Jesus still didn't come. I go, oh, Lord, you know what? I'd love to raise some kids. I'd love to have the kid. And then something else happened. Oh, Lord, can you wait till this? Can you wait? And now that I'm getting old and my knees hurt and my back hurts all the time, Lord, you can come anytime you want. See, we look at things our way instead of God's way. God will come back. Jesus will come back on his time. And I'm going to tell you, when he does come, we're not going to care if we were married or not. Because we're going to be experiencing things that are so much greater. Number two, Christians must follow the example of God and wait on his perfect timing. And that's hard for us to do, to wait on the Lord. We got to have the answer now. I want it now. We got to do it now because this might happen now. So, and God is saying, no, wait upon me. I remember I was in college once again. I was dating this girl, and a friend in college said, you know how to make sure that you marry her? No, how? She goes, you got to get her pregnant and move to Alaska. Oh, that would make for great in-law relations. Besides, God doesn't want that. If I would have married her, you wouldn't know my wife, Polly, would you? I look at all the gals that I ever dated in college, and from each one of them, every gal I ever dated, I go from each one of them, they all got better and better and better and better and better, until eventually God brought Polly and I together. And it's just because I waited upon the Lord. It was funny. I broke up with this gal, and an hour later, I took Polly out on a date. I don't recommend that. And then we got engaged and got married. But wait upon the Lord for his perfect timing. Secondly, thirdly, God's timing is the best timing. Just do it God's way. I don't know how to stress that more, but do it God's way. Do it God's way. Do it God's way. This is the best way. It may not be at your time. It may take a little bit longer. It may be a little bit sooner, but just do it God's way because it is so much better. So many times we take things into our hands and we say, we're going to do it my way, and then all of a sudden our life falls apart and then we blame God for it. So I'm going, oh, why did this happen to me? Why is God? Where is God? And God's going, wait a minute, you decided to go down this path, didn't you? You decided to follow his or your own way instead of my way, and now you're blaming me? Just do it God's way. And you can put anything in there you want. Some of the biggest mistakes I've ever made is when I decided to live my way instead of God's way. And the biggest mistakes I've ever made is when I had to have an answer right now. I remember when we bought a car in Montpelier, Ohio. We bought a car and I took it home. Hey, Polly, she didn't even know I was looking at a car. Isn't this the car? She goes, yeah, we're going to buy this car. Do we need to test drive it? Yeah, I already test drive it. It was fine. Okay, and we're going to... Found out it was wrecked in Florida after we bought it. I put two transmissions in it at Christmas time. Finally got rid of the thing because I had to have it now. I don't even remember the Willy Wonka. Who all remembers Willy Wonka? You know what I'm talking about? What was her name? Eleusis Goop or whatever her name was? Little spoiled brat kid that had to have it now. I got to have it now. And she says, I want a feast. I want a bean feast. Cream buns and donuts and fruitcake with no nuts so good you could go nuts. No now. I want a ball. I want a party. Pink macaroons with millions of balloons and performing baboons. And give it to me now. I want the world. I want the whole world. I want to lock it up in my pocket. It's just my bar of chocolate. Give it to me now. I want today. I want tomorrow. I want to wear them like braids in my hair. And I want them to share them. I want a party with roomfuls of laughter, 10,000 tons of ice cream. And if I could get the things that I'm after, I didn't say that right. If I don't get the things that I'm after, I'm going to scream. I want the works. I want the whole works. Presents and prizes, sweets and surprises and all that sizes. And now, I don't care how, I want it now. I don't care how, I want it now. Oh, to wait on God's timing. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 says, You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the eternal rock. Trust in God in his time. Let's pray. Father, as we enter into this Christmas season, we recognize the fact that Jesus was so planned. And you planned for the perfect timing. And Lord, we just pray that as we enter in this Christmas season, that we will continue to look at you and your perfect timing as well. If we're thinking about compromising in any way, convict us. Convict us and hold us strong so that we can wait upon your timing, which is the best timing. So we pray for that. And we pray for that in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Please join and or stand and join us as we sing. The song we're going to sing is called Hosanna. And at first, when I saw this song on the lineup, I was kind of like, wait, Hosanna? Isn't that like a Easter? You know, because that's what the people said on Palm Sunday when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. And Hosanna means Lord, save us. But as I was thinking about it, it's perfect for Christmas time, really, because Christmas is all about how God sent his only son into the world so that he could die for our sins. So it can go with Christmas or Easter. His love and mercy washing over all.
Father, we do honor you for your perfect timing. And we just pray your blessing upon us and upon all that are here, and help us to wait upon you. And as hard as it is, to trust in you too. So we thank you and praise you and honor you. Be with us in the weeks to come, and may we honor you with all that we do and all that we say. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said.
We waited for this day, we gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here, you're the reason we're singing. So open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, show us your glory.